Okay, so we'll be in Joshua chapter 3, and I'll read down to verse 8 this morning. Joshua chapter 3, 1 through 8. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Shittim and came to the Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the hosts, and they commanded the people, saying, when ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed this way hitherto fore. And Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that, as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests to bear the ark of the covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of the Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. Let us look to the Lord. Loving Father, we do ask for your blessing upon your word this morning. Pray for your ministry of your Holy Spirit to us. Open the word of God that we may receive those things you have prepared for us, that our hearts may truly be taught of you. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we have been studying Joshua, of course, we in the first chapter, we noted that in particular, God had led Joshua after the death of Moses in that he was appointed to be the new leader of Israel. And given that responsibility, he was commissioned of God, and he is set out upon this task of leading the children of Israel over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. But first, as they crossed the Jordan, they would encounter, of course, Jericho. And in the second chapter, we noted that there were two sent to Jericho. And in sending them over to Jericho, they encountered a woman called Rahab. And we find that she befriended them. And God also used her as a means of preserving the two, that they might see the true attitude of the people of Jericho, that they were in great fear of God, and that they believed that they probably would be conquered if Israel came against them. And so the fear of the Lord was over the land. And this was much encouraging to the two who went to view the land and the coming home to report to Joshua. Now, as we come to the third chapter, we find preparations for the crossing Jordan. And so the title of the message is simply Crossing Jordan, but this is part one. I'm going to make a two-part message here, so you'll have to come next week to hear the second part of it. But Crossing Jordan, part one. In crossing Jordan, there would be several things that they needed to do. One, and I'm going to give you a one-word outline for each one of these. The first word is preparation. And we all know what preparation is about. But preparation was needed for Joshua and the children of Israel that they might be made ready to cross the river and to enter into the Promised Land. Because there would be, of course, significant challenges as they would cross the River Jordan and enter into the work that God had prepared for them. The second word I want you to remember is waiting. Waiting. in the narrative, we find that God not only wants to prepare the people, but he also tells them that we're going to have to camp 3 days and wait at the River Jordan before we cross over. And so they had to wait. Preparation and waiting. Well, this sounds so familiar, doesn't it, to what we do all the time. And how that those things are so significant to our own relationship to God. We must be prepared of God to do things. We must wait upon God to do things. And the third thing that I want you to take note of is the word sanctification. So there is preparation, there is waiting, and there is sanctification. And in the word sanctification, there's that idea of the inward look, looking at your own life to find out whether or not you are up to the task that God is preparing you for. And this is the most significant part of what Israel would be encountering. That is, they must wait upon God. They must be ready to the task that is before them. And so these three words will become a very important part of the presentation this morning as we go through these eight verses. First of all, preparation for the crossing of Jordan. Verse 1, and Joshua rose early in the morning, and they camped, removed from Shittim, and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. We find that they removed from the place where they were to come to the Jordan. Of course, there must have been a lot of things they had to bring with them. And this was about 7 miles that they had to travel to get to the Jordan from where they were. If you want to refer to another passage to help us understand this, look to Numbers chapter 33, verse 48 at this time. And I'll just read a short passage here, which will kind of explain this to you. Verse 49, Numbers 33, 49. And they pitched by Jordan from Beth-Jemoth, even unto Beth-Shittim in the plain of Moab. And the Lord spoke unto Moses in the plains of Moab by Jordan near Jericho, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye have passed over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then ye shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you, and destroy all their pitchers, and destroy all their molten images, and quite pluck down all their high places. And ye shall dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell therein, for I have given you the land to possess it. Well, so this particular place, this Beth Shittim, was about 7 miles from the River Jordan. And we find this is where that Joshua and the children of Israel are at the present. And they would have to travel the 7 miles and come to the River Jordan. So the preparation, they had to kind of pack everything up, take down their tents, get all their gear together, and make themselves ready to travel the distance, the 7 miles or 8 miles, or however far it was. It was between 7 and 8 miles, I believe. To the River Jordan. And so preparation is an important part of any task that we undertake, of course. Preparation is the beginning point. Therefore, Joshua and all Israel needed to move to the starting point of the crossing. Well, as we often think about how we begin with preparation. And it is that Joshua intended to make the hearts of the people ready to enter into the land. And especially when we think about them going forward over the river and entering into the land that they might take that first city, that they might secure that first possession that God had meant for them to have. Now remember, there was some who were on the other side of the Jordan, the West Bank, but they wanted to cross over the Jordan and go to the eastern side into the land of Canaan. And we find that as they were to go, this was going to be quite a task for sure. Some 40,000 armed men, plus maybe another 100,000 people who were not soldiers, who would be staying behind to kind of take care of everything on the west side until the land was secured on the east side. But we find that preparation was necessary to the work. And in our own spiritual lives, we find that this is so significant to what we do in service for God as well. If we are to see results, we must be ready to the work. And Joshua wanted everyone to know that God was leading. We must therefore submit to God. We must therefore allow God to get us into a framework, a mind and a heart to serve and to do the very thing that is necessary. Now, what is it that you need to be prepared to do? Well, it may be that God has some particular service that you are called to. And you can think about that, because that's something between you and God. How you are to go forward and to serve Him. But you must be prepared to do it. And sometimes that means that you must kind of gather things together. I know that you ladies probably do quite a bit of preparation when it comes to doing work around the home. And it may be gathering cleaning supplies, or it may be getting things together for cooking, or it may be getting materials together to go and to help someone. There's just all kinds of things that you might do in preparation as women to do something. And the men are like that as well, of course. And sometimes the men, you know, they think about it a little while, because sometimes it takes us a little bit longer to get motivated. But once we get motivated, then we're ready to do it. So we get our tools together. We get all of those things that we need to get together to do the job. And then we say, well, I'm going to go do that job. And your wife says, well, when are you going to start? Well, I'm thinking about it. And then we get going. You have to get motivated. Well, this was part of the motivation for the children of Israel, too. They were preparing. Joshua wanted to prepare the people. He had to get them up, and he had to move them 7 miles to the River Jordan. And sometimes just getting prepared is not only a beginning point, but it's so essential to getting where you need to be, to see what God wants you to do. Secondly here, in verse 2, and it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host and commanded the people, saying, when you see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Well, we find that it came to pass after 3 days. Well, it seems that the 3-day period was significant, because after they had gotten to the river, it was necessary for them to wait at the river. They wouldn't immediately cross over. Well, you take 40,000 people and move them to a new location and plank them down, and all of a sudden you find that there's a whole new set of things to do before you can do the next thing. Well, we got to stop and get ourselves ready for the next stage, so Joshua is saying. And he says he's waiting at the river. He's waiting. So they camp 3 days at the river before going forward. So Joshua wanted to show them what they were up against. Now we probably can kind of envision this a little bit. He says there is a huge river in front of them, Now, of course, this was at flood stage, and the river was flooded, so it was flooded to a very wide plain over this original banking. And so the people move as close as they could to it. But remember, the Ark of the Covenant was there too, and the Ark of the Covenant was out in front of the 40-some thousand people, and was about 3,000 feet distance ahead of them. Now you might ask, well, why did they have to be so far distance from the Ark itself? Well, this is what Walbert says. Having arrived at the river, they stopped for 3 days. Time was no doubt needed for the leaders to organize the crossing and pass instructions on to the people. The delay also gave everyone an opportunity to get close to see the river. Now a strong and rapid current, due to the melting of the snows from Mount Hermon, they must have faltered, as it's seemingly impossible to cross this river with such a great entourage of people. How are we going to get across the river? Well, you know, sometimes ministry is like that to us. We get close to it. We think we are ready to do something, but the task seems to be impossible. It seems to be beyond us. How can we possibly do the very thing that we want to do? And for Israel, it was to cross the river. And that is a, you might say, well, it's a logistical thing. There is logistics in view here. Is it the best place to cross? Do we have the resources to cross? How can we affect this crossing? What kinds of things will we have to bring to accomplish this thing? But remember, they want to do it. God was going to do it. Aha! The impossibility sometimes is faith. How can we trust God to do the impossible? Now, we're pretty good at planning, and we're pretty good at scheming our own ideas and trying to put together something so we can accomplish the task. But what if you have to wait totally on God to see the results? Now, that is what Israel was going to have to do. Joshua brought them to the bank of the river, so to speak. He let them see what was ahead of them. And basically he was saying to them, you're going to have to wait on God now, because God is going to do the impossible for you. Now that's an obstacle that sometimes people just can't get over. They cannot get over it, because they don't know how to trust God to see the impossible happen. They want to get in there and play with it. Well, I got to build a little bridge or something to get over this river. How else am I going to get over this river? Or maybe I can go upstream and I can throw some rocks in, or I can dig a trench and divert the river off to the side or something. Or we might say, well, I can do something. I can do something. I've just got to figure this thing out. But no, that isn't what God wanted for Joshua and for the children of Israel. He says, wait. Wait. Waiting is difficult. Waiting is, well, we sometimes call it patience. And nobody wants it. But waiting was the thing that was needed. Waiting was what God was requiring of them. They just got done traveling 7 miles from Abel Shittim unto the brink of the river. And now they were camping there for 3 days. Instructions were given that they were to follow the Ark of the Covenant. Usually the Kohathites were the ones who carried the Ark of the Covenant, but in this particular case, the priests were instructed to carry the Ark of the Covenant. Now, who were the priests? Well, the priests were the spiritual men who served God on behalf of the people. They did the sacrifices and the various other kinds of things required, and so they were the spiritual men of God's congregation, you might say. And then there is the Ark of the Covenant. What does the Ark of the Covenant represent? The Ark of the Covenant represents the presence of God. And so we have the priests, and we have the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of God. And we have this great entourage of men who are going to go over the river, some 40,000, and they are some 3,000 feet from the Ark of the Covenant, and they can see it, but they must keep a respectable distance from it. Joshua would use his army to go forward, but not in the way that normally it was thought of. The first thing that you would think that they would do would be to sharpen their swords. Well, they've got to go to battle. Why not sharpen your swords? Why not get the spears out and make sure that they're nice and pointed and picked and ready to throw at the enemy? But that wasn't what they were to do either. They were to wait upon God. And so we find that as it was necessary to come to the work, God was preparing them to do it His way. And I think that's one of the difficulties of ministry, is doing the work God's way, not our way, because we would choose to do it differently. Oh, let's get a couple of billboards and we'll just put out some advertising and we'll get a fundraiser going and we'll stir up get some money in the bank and let us go out in the community and maybe we can get a bunch of volunteers to do this and that and we'll just whip this thing together and pretty soon we're going to have a full church on our hands here. But if we understand what a true church is, a true church is those who are believers, those who come together in like precious faith, those who are called of God. And we can't do things that way. We must trust God. We must begin by preparation. We must wait upon God. We must be ready when God says to go and to do. And so it is that Joshua had brought them to this place. Reverence toward God is always connected to leading, as we are never to take a casual view of God. And so what did Joshua say? Put the ark 3,000 feet away from the army. Do not come near unto it. Verse 4, yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near it unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go, for ye have not passed by this way before or heretofore. And so it was necessary for them to see the ark in the distance. It was necessary for them to know that God was going to do the leading. Remember, the priests were the spiritual men. The ark was the presence of God. And who is it that is going to accomplish the work for as God moved the people forward? God was going to do it through those who had been given the responsibility to office. And the people would follow. And so they were to have no casual or careless intimacy with God, but a profound respect and reverence for the work of God. In other words, God wasn't the, quote, man upstairs. that some refer to. No, God was the sovereign, holy God of creation. God was the true and living God. God is God. And man does not presume to tell God what to do. Rather, God leads man forward. And so we find, what does Jesus tell his disciples? Tarry in Jerusalem. Wait until the Holy Spirit comes down upon you. Then the Holy Spirit will come upon you and you will be ready to go and to do the work that I have called you to do. Preparation and waiting upon God are necessary to do the work of the Lord. And it is those lessons which become so important to ministry. Thirdly, for the work of God must be sanctified. Joshua commanded them to sanctify yourselves, for the Lord will do wonders among you tomorrow. In verse 5, and Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spoke unto the priests, saying, take up the ark of the covenant and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant and went before the people. And so here are the priests, and they are the ones carrying the ark upon the staves, and they go out in front of this great army of people, and the army sees the priests moving forward, and he says, now it's time for you to sanctify yourselves. We prepared ourselves. We have been waiting upon God now, making ready. And now you must sanctify yourself. Now here is, again, one of the callings of those who are believers. We are called to be sanctified unto the Lord. But what does that mean? Well, for the children of Israel, it typically meant ceremonially that they were to separate themselves from all common things that they would normally do. They wouldn't have intimacy or relationship with their spouses. They would wash themselves. They would cleanse themselves in every way ceremonially. And they would not defile themselves in any way. They would make themselves holy unto the Lord. And this has kind of like the similar view of what true fasting is supposed to do for us. Fasting is not supposed to be a diet. Spiritually, fasting is a consecration unto the Lord. When one truly fasts for the Lord, you might not eat a lot. That isn't the point so much as it is separating yourself unto God. You don't do the normal things that you do necessarily. You try to avoid the normal situation. So if you normally eat three meals a day, you might limit yourself, not entirely maybe if health-wise you couldn't do it, but you would change your normal routine so you could do what? Dedicate yourself unto prayer and unto a more consecrated time with God. You might read your Bible more, you might pray more, you would separate yourself from others, and you would therefore sanctify yourself that day unto the Lord. Well, that's what the people were to do. He says, sanctify yourselves. God is going to do something for you. You will see wonders this day as you prepare yourself and wait upon God and sanctify yourself unto the Lord. Do you want to see God work? Those are the things that will reveal God's working in your life and in others as well. When you prepare yourself for ministry, when you wait upon God for the ministry which God wants you to do, and when you sanctify yourself unto the Lord for the work of the ministry, pray and prepare yourself for what God is going to accomplish. And so we find that Joshua said unto the people, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And so the time to sharpen swords, and there is a time for that, of course, but he said, this is not the time for it. Now is the time to get on your knees. That's how true preparation and waiting and consecration is accomplished, is getting on one's knees, not sharpening your swords. The time for using the sword will come soon enough, Joshua said, but now sanctify yourself unto the Lord. Walbert makes this comment, as the day for the crossing approached, Joshua commanded the people to sanctify or consecrate themselves. It would be easier to understand if he had said, sharpen your swords and check your shields, unquote. But spiritual, not military preparation was needed at this time because God was about to reveal himself by performing a great miracle in Israel's midst. If God is to do the work, then we must humble ourselves and be sanctified and meet or made fit for the Master's use. You know, we think about the 12 and how that they were so close to Jesus, his disciples. When we think about that, what was Jesus doing? He was preparing them. They were going through a period of waiting because Jesus was not yet sanctified unto God to do the work that he was going to accomplish. He had to go to the cross. There was much yet that had to be done for him to be fully ready to go there to do that. He must fulfill much. And in that process of sanctification, the disciples also were seeing by example what the Lord himself did in prayer and in dedication to God and in the ministry of the Word. These things would be done and established by Joshua, of course. Look at verses 6 through 8. And Joshua spoke unto the priests, saying, take up the Ark of the Covenant, pass over before the people. And they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priest to bear the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when ye are come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in the Jordan. They were just to walk up to the brink of the river and stand still. After all this, you know, as we enter into the work of the ministry, as we prepare, as we wait upon God, as we consecrate ourselves unto the Lord, and then we come to the work, who is really going to accomplish the things that are spiritual? God is. God is going to do it. Yes, there would be a time for them to draw their swords and to fight the battle. And we will have those times. But some of the most important things that we can do can be taken by example right from here. They were preparing to do what God wanted them to do. They were waiting upon God to accomplish the thing that they were commissioned to do. They had been called to dedicate themselves and consecrate themselves, sanctify themselves unto the Lord. And even the priests themselves were not to presume to do the work of the Lord. The priests couldn't part the river. All they could do is go up to the edge of the river and wait upon God. You know, that's what we are to do as well. We're to do everything God wants that's necessary for us to be ready. We are to be prepared, we are to wait upon God, we are to be sanctified unto the Lord, and we are to allow God to begin what we cannot do. The impossible. Changing the hearts and lives of people. Affecting spiritual growth in the lives of people. Administering grace and mercy from God into the lives of people. Reaching people with the gospel of Christ. These are impossible things for us. But God can do it. If we take the right approach, God can do it. Just as God was going to do great miracles for Joshua and the children of Israel. The Lord told Joshua how they would make the crossing and explained to Joshua that this miracle would magnify and exalt him as the teacher or leader of the people. It was to establish Joshua's credentials as God's representative to guide Israel. What better way to accomplish this than for Joshua to direct their passage through the miraculous parted river? After the crossing, the people did, in fact, revere Joshua. And that was a comment from Walvoord concerning this event. I think it's important that we realize that there is a type that we should make here. Joshua is the type of Christ. Remember, Joshua is our Jesus in the sense that his name in the Old Testament means Yahweh saves. And Jesus in the New Testament, Jehoshua, is the word also which means Savior. And Jesus saves. God was going to use Joshua to save the people of Israel, to be that leader that would lead the people forward into the promised land. Jesus Christ will lead us forward into the inheritance that he has for us, into the blessings that he has for us. We only have to follow him. Once we recognize that Jesus is the one that leads us forward, then we will be willing to prepare, we will be willing to wait, we will be willing to sanctify our lives unto him. And as we do, he will lead us forward. And his credentials will be well established. Now, who will they be established to? All the people. Remember, the fear of the Lord was upon the land. Their hearts were melting for fear in Canaan. And now it was necessary that the children of Israel, the army, and all that was involved in going in and securing the land would have the courage that God meant for them to have to go and to do what he would do for them as they move forward. And so in the next message, of course, we see how that they crossed the river. They crossed Jordan. And in crossing the River Jordan, it just completely separates. That the waters are parted in a most miraculous manner. And that they go across the River Jordan and God is going before them. And that is a picture of what we need to see. If we are ready and right with God, God will go before us and he will do the very thing that we are trusting in him to do. He will do it. And the credentials of Jesus Christ as the one who is Lord and Savior of our lives will be well established as God accomplishes his work. And that is something to be very much thankful for. Shall we pray? Loving Father, we do thank you for your blessing to us through the scriptures and by your Holy Spirit. Only we pray, prepare us. Give us hearts to wait upon you. Give us hearts to be sanctified that we might see your hand move among us. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.